halftime of the D4 state semifinal between Hartley and Alter. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savaldi. Glad to have you aboard. Time now to look at some of the scores from other contests tonight in the postseason. In Division I playoff action, the state semifinals. Not good news for the local teams early on. At halftime, St. Ignatius leads Olentangy Liberty 14-0. The same score, St. X on top of Pick Central. And that's 14-0 with 5:48 left to go in the first half. At halftime, it's Hudson on top of Maslin Perry by a count of 3-0. Cincinnati LaSalle over Anthony Wayne by a count of 21-0. Now, in the other D4 state semifinal, Steubenville leads Perry 28-13, 7:09 left to go in the second quarter. And at halftime in Division 6, Newark Catholic is on the board, but they're trailing Cuyahoga Heights by a count of 20-7. And also going on tonight in other semifinal action, and this one also in Division 6, Marion Local on top of Patrick Henry, 15-0 at halftime. So, Larry, those are the scores. Anything that surprises you in Division 1?
No. I mean, you got to believe that St. X and Iggy's are both, you know, destined to play each other in the state finals, and we're just hoping that Liberty or Pick Central could pick one of those two off and get a Central Ohio team in there.
How about Steubenville on top of Perry 28-13?
That might surprise you a little bit. This is not Reno's best Steubenville team, but they're up 28-13. They know how to win.
They're in the Final Four, though. That's what you got to remember, too.
Oh, yeah, they're very average. They're in the Final Four every year. Yeah.
And Newark Catholic, Bill Frank and company. Frank's had them going there. Frankie had them at, you know, playing really well against Reedy. They got the victory in overtime, and now against Heights, they're down 20-7 at halftime.
Well, you know, they were just so elated to beat Reedy because they thought that was the biggest game in the region, and it was, because the next week they just pounded the opponent from down there, Beverly Fort Fry. So, I mean, it's a great season for Newark Catholic. Listen, they're going to end up, what, 9-5? And they play a tough regular season schedule. That's a great season for Billy Franks.
Just want to see more of the local teams dent that scoreboard. And, of course, we'll have more action tomorrow night. So games tomorrow night, Division 3, DeSales will take on Akron Hoban. We'll have that game for you with our pregame show starting at 6:45, and we'll kick it off right around 7. Then the other game in D3 will be Toledo Central Catholic at 13-0, taking on Trotwood Madison at 11-2. Now, that game's going to be played at Lima. We'll be at Mansfield Arlen Stadium tomorrow night. In Division 5, it is Edison taking on Canton Central Catholic at Strongsville, and Coldwater takes on Coshocton, bless you, at Olentangy.
You're welcome.
So that's coming up tomorrow in Division 5. In Division 7, it's Warren JFK. Hey, Denny Zolchek, when he was there, was one of my all-time favorite coaches. He was hilarious. He occasionally coached, but he was a great comedian as well, too. Milan Smith and Company is their opponent from Harvest Prep. Best of luck to them in D7. What a great program he has over there. That game will be played at New Philly. Then the other game in Division 7 is Minster against Macomb. Minster at 9-4 and Macomb at 12-1. That game is going to take place at Wapak tomorrow night.
Minster comes out of the MAC conference over there, and it's just a brutal conference. Just absolutely brutal conference. So,
update for the Tigers of Jay Sheraton Company. Pick Central on the board. They get a touchdown late in the first half. They're trailing St. X now by a count of 14-7.
There you go.
I can't keep track of the number of times I've covered St. X and St. Ignatius in the playoffs in the past, too. It seems like they always have that path to get there. All right, let's talk about this game. Yeah. In the first half, total offense for Hartley on 37 plays, 196 yards. For Alter, 32 yards on 16 plays, 2 yards a play. All their yards were, in fact, both teams, all their yardage on the ground. 32 yards for Alter, 196 for Hartley. Passing, each team was zip of 5 passing in the first half. Is the win more of a factor than we thought?
No, neither one of them has a sophisticated passing attack. And what they do is they try to take their shots deep. They're low percentage plays, but when you have great speed, it becomes a medium percentage play, and you're just hoping to hit one and stretch the defense. But they're not relying on the passing game. Neither team is relying on it.
And Alter's in this game with only one first down in the first half. Hartley had 9. Each team with only one penalty, each for 5 yards, and no turnovers in the first half.
If you had said that Hartley would have more than 2-1 in plays and that Alter would only have one first down, Hartley would take that and mail it in right now. They would mail it in right now and say, we'll take it. No matter what the score is, we'll take it. Because what Hartley is looking to do here, if they double this up, they'll have 70-plus plays on offense to 32 or 33. They'll wear this Alter team out. they will wear them out on defense, and that's exactly what Hartley wants to do.
And they've done that all season all against the opponents. All right, recapping the scoring of the first half, Dixon on a 43-yard run ended an 8-play, 76-yard drive, took 4:14 off the clock. Aggressed to the PAT, it was 7-0. We move to the second quarter. Dixon on a 5-yard run, aggressed to the PAT. That was a 12-play, 80-yard drive, took 6:13 off the clock, 14-0. Then on the kickoff, it was Bevins who had a great return of 63 yards. Markoff then scrambled, looked, and made a diagonal run for the left pylon. Took it in from 15 yards out. Ruffalo added the PAT. That was a 3-play, 14-yard drive. Took 1:26 off the clock. And that's why we stand at 14-7. Individual stats in the first half. Marquette Dixon, 21 carries, 146 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Cameron Culver, 5 carries for 24 yards. And Ruby, 3 for 17 on the other side. Mr. Offense has been Mr. Markoff, the quarterback, 4 carries, 20 yards, and a touchdown. We're just about ready for the start of the second half. So if you're Hartley, you talked about wearing them down in the second half. What else did you tell your team if you're Brad Birchfield?
If you're Brad Birchfield, you told your defense, this is the single most important series of the game right now. We have to get a stop on this first series because not only will it put our offense back on the field, but it will keep their offense from changing the field position. And then we start working on the clock, because another touchdown for Hartley is going to shorten this game in a hurry, and it's going to make it really, really difficult for Alder to come back. So if you're Hartley, the defense has played great all night, but one play.
St. X with a field goal just before the half now. They lead the Tigers of Pickerington Central 17-7 at halftime. Ed Domsis is the head coach in his second tenure at Kettering Alder. 25 years, a mark of 243-61 at the school. 42 years of coaching, 318 and 144, 12th in the state all-time, heading in to this year when it comes to coaching victories for the 66-year-old. We were talking before the start of the game. He is still teaching 6 classes as well, too.
Awesome. Just absolutely awesome.
Mateo Agresti has it teed up. The Hawks to kick it off to start the second half. And they try to go to the short side, if you will, and they'll kick it out of bounds and send it to the track.
I'm not sure Alder will take that. They might make them kick it again.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, we'll recap our officials for this contest tonight. And your referee is Rich Fisher. Your umpire is Chris Myers. The linesman is Bobby Starks. The line judge is Harry Myers. The back judge is Lance Jacobs. It was 33 degrees at game time. With the wind chill, it was right around 27. So Alter is going to take the ball 35-yard line. Maybe a break for the Hawks there.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you wouldn't make them kick it again, because they'll just keep kicking it out of bounds, and eventually they're going to have to kick it to you.
So first and 10 from the 35 for Alder, going left to right, brown jerseys, white pants.
I expect to see Alder come out with more of the keep or pitch.
Wishbone look again. They hand it off. Oh, there's nothing there. And this guy has been playing out of his mind tonight. Max Steinecker came shooting through the gap, and there was absolutely nothing there. Generously, they're going to put the ball back at the 35-yard line, but Larry, that contact came at the 33.
I don't think he ever got near the 35.
So it'll be second down and 10 from the 35-yard line. Again, 2 wideouts check in Zielinski, and also coming back in the contest is McKelvey as well, too.
You see these linebackers with the 3 backs in there. You can cross-key that, and you just get an immediate run and hit. I mean, it's wide open for you.
Rushing, no gain on that first down play. Second down and 10 from the 35. Snap over the head of Markoff inside the 20-yard line. Hunts it down, rolls, tries to get away, and he's going to get waylaid back at the 18-yard line. I thought he might fall on the ball. Blackman was the first to get there, but the snap went about 2 yards over his head, and he went back to get the football inside the 20-yard line and is brought down right at the 18.
Now, if you're Hartley, you pretty much know they don't really have a passing attack, so what you want to be telling your linebackers is watch for the screenplay. Match up with your guys, make sure you get the screenplay covered, and your defensive backs, make them throw the ball over the top of you.
Look how deep the DB is for the Hawks. He's standing at the 41-yard line.
He's 22 yards deep.
Markoff back to throw, looking, rolling to his right, bluffs. Now he will tuck. He'll run across the 20, the 25, the 30, up to the 35, and tries to hurdle for some reason at the 40-yard line. The ball is free at the 41-yard line. They're going to mark him down at the 41?
I think they are.
Ball came free relatively early. Boffman's got the football in his hand for the Hawks, but it's going to be fourth down and about 4.
I think Hartley's surprised that that wasn't called a fumble because he went airborne, and I think the ball was out on the field, and nobody expected it to be there.
I didn't see him hit the ground with the ball because it went out of his hands when he was in the air, and the Hawks think they should have it, but they're not going to get it as Manley's going to go back deep and Ruffalo to punt standing back at his own 27-yard line.
And Coach Birchfield's not a bit happy about that.
And another high snap, but he gets it, and there's the kick. It is high, it is deep, and Manley's going to look at that. It's going to go over his head at the 20-yard line. Bounce inside the 15, inside the 10, and head towards the sidelines right around the 5-yard line.
That ball has to be caught. That ball hit at about the 30-yard line, maybe the 28, and it went 20, 25 yards down to the Coffin corner.
54 yards on the punt by Ruffalo, and the Hawks will get it back deep in their own territory. First and 95 from about the 5 with 9:49 left to go third quarter and leading 14-7.
They don't have to get all 95 in one chunk though, Randy, so they got a whole bunch of plays to use it.
Well, Alonzo Boothwood. We saw him get 98 last week.
Yeah. Well, they could use one of those. Harley could use one of those right about now.
First and 10 from the 5. And they are a light year from us right now. Tight set. Ruby going to be under center on this first down play with one back in the backfield. Going to hand it off, take it off the right side. I'm going to guess that that was Nick Cohn.
Yep.
Because of the size, and Cohn, number 14, up to around the 10-yard line. He's just got the biggest frame back there as Cohn goes 6'2 and about 230 pounds and muscles it out near the 10-yard line. It's going to be second down and just about 5 from there as we're down to 9.5 left to go. Dixon now in the backfield with Cohn the lead man. Manley a wide out to the bottom. Culver to the top. Hawks waiting for the play information. Play clock down to 10, 9, 8, 7. Ruby has him up to the line. Backs off, set Ruby under center on the second down play. Going to hand it off right up the middle. And Dixon hits it with a charge.
Uh-oh.
Trying to get to the 15. And they're pushing the pile, pushing the pile, pushing the pile. All the way out to around the 20-yard line.
Well, he was stopped short of the first down at about the 13, and that ball is going to be at the 20. And a few years ago, that would have been illegal, but now you're allowed to push him. You're just not allowed to pull him. I don't understand the difference.
Well, remember
exactly.
Helping runner when it used to be called a long time ago?
Don't remind me. I lost a quarterback for the season that way.
How about Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart against Notre Dame?
Yeah, he pulled him, though.
He pulled him, then he pushed him. First and 10 Hawks. Mark the ball at the 20. Again, Ruby under center. And Dixon slightly offset one step to the left of the lead man, Cohn, and he's got the handoff. Marquette off the right side, pushes the pile, gets out to around the 22, maybe the 23-yard line. It'll be second down from there with 8:28 left to go. Boy, if you're the Hawks right now, you'd like to take more air out of that balloon, get a long drive here, 95 yards, milk about 8 minutes off the clock, and have that two-touchdown lead late in the third quarter.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if they can drive this thing out of here and even if they don't score, if they can just get it up to midfield and punt the ball in a hole, they're going to take another 3 or 4 minutes off the clock, and that's really all they want to do.
We have an official's timeout on the field, and with that being said, we're approaching the top of the hour, and we'll remind you that you are listening to WVSG Columbus, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Randy Reinhart, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, and Greg Savaldi, glad to have you aboard for high school football action tonight, and we like it so much, we'll do it again tomorrow with the Sales and Hovind. From the 23, second down and 7 from there, backs offset. Toss, it goes to the far side, and Dixon's going to be brought down right at the 24-yard line. Boy, he thought he found a seam out there, and great job by the Knights defense to pursue to the football.
Well, this may be Jake Ruby time here, because it seems like the Alder defense, I mean, 21 carries in the first half for Marquette Dixon, so you know they have to be keying on him.
Connor Brinkman makes the hit on the play. The defensive end stays at home, 5'10", 203, and a junior. So now the Hawks are going to have the ball at the 24. It'll be third down and 6 from there. I feel like I'm at a Columbus Clipper game right now. Ring that bell.
It'd be a lot warmer if you were.
Tight set for the Hawks. A wideout is a rumor right now. One man in motion, top to bottom. And Ruby going to keep it and get across the 30-yard line and have the first down.
Gave that to Marquette Dixon.
It was Dixon. No, you're right. Dixon across the 30. I didn't even see the handoff that time.
They lined Marquette Dixon up so tight on the wing to the top that we couldn't even see him. He was disappearing in the line, and then he came on that inside handoff.
And picks up 7 on the play out across the 30 to around the 32-yard line. So the Hawks have a first down. Boy, you know, we talked about the double wing, double tight that used to be used by Dublin Jerome, but the Hawks at times with their formation so can be incredibly tight that if you're the defense, you would think you'd have an advantage knowing that the mosh pit is coming into your face, but still you can't stop it. Culver in motion, gets the handoff from bottom to top, and squirms to around the 34, maybe the 35-yard line.
See, and that's a nice little three-yard game for Cameron Culver, and it's just all you're doing is giving different people the ball in different places so that the defense can't just key on Marquette Dixon.
Second down and seven now from the 35, down to 6:18 left to go.
I'm still waiting for Ruby to make that big play.
This drive started at the Hawk 5-yard line. They need seven more. Cohn is the fullback. Dixon starts the set on a wing to the bottom.
Culver's at the top, so this could be a jet sweep coming this direction.
From the 35. Culver waits for an opening, doesn't find it. At the near hash, brought down right at the 35-yard line. They tried to look for an opening. It was strung out nicely by the Elder defense, and Antoine Martin Jr. helping to make the hit on the play along with Lane Harshbarger, number five.
Well, now, obviously, if I kind of knew it was coming, you had to know Alder knew it was coming because they did a great job, obviously, scouting this team. They better have done a great job. They're in the state semifinals.
No gain on the play. Third down and seven from the 35. 5:25 left to go. Third quarter, Hartley on top of Alder, 14-7. And the Alder defense trying to have their fans stand up now. Tony Petrosino, the defensive end, taking on his partners in the stands. One wide to the bottom. Culver in motion now, also to the top of the set. Ruby rolling to his right, throwing back the other way to Cameron. Oh. Make that to Marquette Dixon, and he took it in the middle to the 37-yard line.
My.
Looked like he had opening to the near side outside, and he took it up the middle and got it to the 37.
If he had gone down the sidelines, he might still be running. He had three blockers out in front of him, and he cut it back to the middle, and there was nothing in there but brown shirts.
So now it's going to be fourth down for the Hawks. Fourth down and just about five from the 37-yard line.
When he watches that on film, he's probably going to kick himself because he could have easily gotten the first down and probably a lot more.
Ruth standing back at his own 45, the deep man.
If I was Alder, I would storm the castle right up the middle here because he's going to kick it 5 or 6
yards. High snap for Ruby. Gets it off. It is high and not that deep. Is it going to cross midfield even?
No.
Well, he kicked that way out of bounds. Way out of bounds.
That's about a 6-yard punt, maybe. I'm going to guess.
Still waiting for the officials to mark the football. They're going to put it at the Hawk 44-yard line.
2-yard punt, give or take.
Seven. 7 yards on the punt.
Wow.
With 4:22 left to go, and Alder gets the ball back now, down by a touchdown. The Hawk defense has been tested a couple times tonight. Can they come out again?
That's three times Alder started a drive on the short side of the 50, and you just can't do that if you're Hartley and hope to survive it. At some point, they're going to make you pay.
Ryan Markoff, the quarterback, again with the wishbone look. Harris, the lead man. One man exits now. The wide out. We've got whistles and flags before the play. Let's see if we have a false start on the offense.
We do. And that was going to be your dive option to the outside.
Leaving early that time was Max Miller in the offensive line, the big right tackle. So it'll be first and 15 now from the Hawk 49-yard line.
Well, he and the left guard both moved.
Kelby gets the play, brings it into Markoff.
Alder's made just enough mistakes to make it difficult for themselves. Just enough. And that 5-yard penalty is not much if you're a passing team. If you're ground bound, it's tough to overcome a 5-yard penalty.
Three backs again. Toss to the second man, finds a gap. 45, 40, 35, rushing 30, and 25-yard line he goes, and undercut inside the 25. So that time they fake it to the first man, give it to the second man, too, and Holden rushing with a big gainer that time, has the first down. A man that rushed for 1,157 yards on the season, picks up 28 on that play.
And McFeeder was the last guy for the Hawks to bring him down. Number 24, Jacob McFeeder, did a nice job playing off the block and forcing him into the sidelines, but that's your dive option that we talked about at the halftime that we thought we might see more of. We hadn't seen him pitch yet. That's the first time they pitched.
Bivens, the deep man.
Power.
That wishbone. Let's see if he gets it. Nope. Hand it off to the first man through, and they get it to the 20-yard line, maybe the 19, and that's about it. On the carry that time is Harris.
And again, that's our man number 54 for the Hartley Hawks.
And he's done a great job all night. We've been mentioning the way that Max Steinecker has plugged the gap. This is a guy that's playing a lot on offense as well, too. You know, he starts at center, and he's finding himself in the middle of the defensive line as well.
Right.
Gain of one to the 20. Second down and nine from the Hawk 20-yard line. 3:27 left to go. Third quarter. Hawks lead 14-7. Wishbone look again. First man through's got it. Harris has got a nice gain inside the 15-yard line, down around the 13. It'll be third down and short. Jack Bachman makes the tackle.
That quick hitter for the fullback, you have to stop the dive. In any triple option scheme, you must stop the dive. Otherwise, they're just going to keep giving it to him.
So third and two from the Hawk 13-yard line. Coming in with a play this time is Justin Schimpf, or JP as he likes to go by. Third and two. Again from the bone with one wide out to the bottom. Markoff going to keep it, get inside the 10, fight to the 8, maybe the 7-yard line, and has a first and goal for the Knights.
Well, Hartley needs to make a big play here. They need to throw Alder for a loss somehow and change the sticks here, because it's first and goal from about the 7-yard line. And so they need to get it back outside the 10 here, either on first down or second down, to really make Alder have to throw the football.
Bivens, Harris, and Rushing have been in the backfield along with the quarterback, Ryan Markoff. He's got his team inside the 10-yard line. We tick down to 2:35 left to go, third quarter. Hawks clinging to a one-touchdown advantage. McKelvey's going to go to the top. He's the wideout on the island, the tight end to the bottom. Again, three backs from that bone look. Markoff down the line, keeps, spins, pushes the pile inside the 3, inside the 2. And brought down there, but it'll be second down and short now with 2:10 left to go in the third.
It's just about the 3-yard line there. That was just he faked the dive and followed. And that's one of the options also. You have the dive, you have the pitch, you have the keep, and you have the follow. So there's four different options there besides counters and other things that come off of that.
Zielinski comes in from the sidelines. Again, they shuttle in plays with their wideouts. Ed Domsitz, who is the head coach, is also the offensive coordinator.
This is a play the Hartley defense is going to have to totally sell out. I mean, everybody's going to have to just sell out.
Second down and goal from the 3-yard line. Hands it off to the up back and nothing there. The Hawks do shut it down inside the 2-yard line. I thought that was Harris that time on the carry. Yep, Harris on the carry. And a short gain on the play. It'll be third down and goal with under 90 seconds left to go in the third. He gained about a foot on the play, Larry.
This is where your goal line defense gets in what they call goal line surge, where you get your tail up in the air and your nose down, and you just get as deep a penetration as you can underneath the offensive lineman's legs.
Again, the three backs, Harris, Rushing, Bivens. Everybody on their feet now. Third down and goal. Toss goes to the deep man, spinning, churning. He's not going to get there as the Hawks are there to stop him inside the 2-yard line. Rushing tried to get it around the right side, but the Hawks shut it down. Blackman and company helping to make the hit.
Well, it's awful early to call it the play of the game, but this could be the play of the game. It's fourth and three from the 3.
I don't understand the players for all their cheering on the crowd. I'd be more concentrating, I think, on playing on the field. But here we go. Fourth down and goal from the 3. 26 seconds and ticking. Third quarter, Hawks clinging to that 14-7 lead. Again from the bone. Markoff under center. And a whistle and a timeout can be taken. This time, it's taken by Alter. 19.7 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Well, at first they signaled Alter took the timeout, then they changed their mind and said no, Hartley burned the timeout. So fourth and goal from just inside the 3 for Alter. They trail the Hawks 14-7, 19.7 seconds left to go. Why do you think the Hawks burned the timeout?
Well, they wanted to make sure they were coming out in their full house tee, and they did their wishbone set, and Hartley just wanted to make sure that everybody was on page with what they have to do, because you have to cover the pitch man, you have to cover the dive man, and you better cover the quarterback.
A two-time state championship team taking on the defending state champs and the Hartley Hawks. Third and goal, make that fourth and goal inside the three-yard line. Again from the bone. Markoff under center. Keeps it. Does he break the plane for the touchdown? Waiting for a call, waiting for a call, waiting for a call. Still nothing, still nothing, still nothing. They look for the football, and they're going to say
short.
The Hawks hold on fourth down.
Well, part of the Alder offensive team was sure he got in, and part of the Hawk defensive team was sure he didn't.
And look at that football from this distance. That ball is almost breathing on the goal line.
Oh, it's as close to the line as it can be.
So the Hawks will get the ball inside, and I mean way inside their one-yard line.
Oh, it's an inch short of the goal line, or 2 inches short of the goal line going in, so...
You know, you want to wedge it out if you're the Hawks, but boy, if you make any mistake right now, it's going to be a safety. I've never seen it this deep. I mean, we're almost touching the goal line. Triple stack. First down. Can they get out of the end zone? Yes, Marquette Dixon gets out to the 2, maybe the 3-yard line, and that will end the third quarter. 14-7. The Hawks lead this one. We head to the fourth quarter. The final quarter for one of these two teams in Division 4. This is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to providing our members the best possible loan and savings rates in a friendly and professional manner. We offer savings and checking accounts, certificates of deposit, investment and retirement accounts, and loans including auto, home, and personal. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 811029 and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.com.
What a contest we have in D4 as we head to the fourth quarter of the state semifinal. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savaldi, glad to have you aboard. Emily Clark back in the studios of AMA 20. Second down for the Hawks and 8 from the 3-yard line. Triple stack again for Bishop Hartley. And Dixon fights, finds a seam across the 5, fights to the 10, backs his way to the 11.
First down.
And they push the pile, still pushing it across the 10, the 15, out to the 20-yard line. Again, rugby mirrors football, and the scrum started at the 13, added 7 yards, and the Hawks have a little breathing room out near the 20-yard line.
Well, he should have been down about the 10, and they just pushed the pile for 10 more yards. There's a lot of thick bodies in there, and you can't get a hold of him. So it's a great thing that you can do these days, I guess.
Total offense, Alter, 86 yards all on the ground. Hartley, 229. 227 rushing and 2 yards passing. First and 10 Hawks from the 20-yard line. Blackman, the wing, to the bottom. On the delay, it goes to the up man, and that's Cone, who fights his way across the 30. Nick Cone all the way up to the 32-yard line, and Cone has enough for a Hawk first down.
You know, if nothing else happens on this drive for Hartley, they have done of getting it off their own goal line, because they literally had the ball touching the goal line when they got it.
Oh, we talked about the smash-mouth style they can play sometimes, and the Hawks so far winning the battle by the slimmest, though, of margins, just one touchdown, 14-7, as there's just about 1 minute gone in the fourth quarter. Glad to have you aboard on St. Gabriel Radio and stgabrielradio.com and the TuneIn Radio app as well, too.
What a scrum.
From the 32-yard line, Blackman again, the wing to the top. It's Cone and Dixon in the backfield. Marquette Dixon off the left side to the 35. You mentioned earlier that the Hawks can wear down a team. Yep. Is this the point where we can see it happen?
This is the point where you might see it happen, because they're just beating on them. They're just lining up, and they're running a 210-pound back with a 240-pound blocking back and a 225-pound blocking back behind 240 and 50-pound linemen, and they're just leaning on them.
Second down and seven, Hawks from the 35. They're going left to right. The ball smack dab in the middle of the field as we're down to 10:24 left to go in the fourth. Tight set. Oh, so tight. Dixon, the lone man in the backfield. Gets the toss right up the gut, puts his head down, and carries the pile to the 39-yard line. You'll take three or four here, won't you?
Absolutely. Hartley is doing exactly what Hartley needed to do to win this game, and that is keep the football away from Alder, ground pound them, and just rely on your veteran offensive line and your great running backs. Just rely on them.
Third down and a long two. Ruby doing something that's rare. It's called a huddle. He gets down to a knee for the Hawks.
They don't even know how to line up in a huddle.
Now brings him up. Play clock down to 12. 9:41 left to go in regulation. Triple stack again. Is it smash mouth time again?
Absolutely.
Dixon, third man through. 40, 42. Fights and is pushed back from there.
He's going to be close, but I think he's going to be short.
Interesting time for both teams. They're going to mark the ball right near the 42-yard line. Let's see where they mark it. Now, the stick is across the 42-yard line, and they've given it the first down. Alder fans are not happy with the spot, but they're going to give him the first down just across the 42-yard line. Ed Domsons is not happy. He was out on the field there.
I'm not sure I blame him for not being happy. I wanted a measurement there regardless.
The Hawks with a first down, a chance to milk more of the clock with 9:12 left to go. Again, they peer to the sidelines with 8 on the play clock. Down to 5. Ruby brings him up. Two backs in the backfield. Blackman in motion, top to bottom. Hand off on the delay right up the middle. It goes to the lead man who pushes. Cohen pushes the pile all the way to the 48-yard line. He did most of that by himself, Larry, carrying three defenders.
There are no holes in this defense for Alder, but there are huge surges by the offensive line from Hartley. And it's just beautiful offensive line play. They just get hip to hip, foot to foot, and they just wedge it out.
It's just like rugby, like we said. If you've ever seen a scrum where everybody gets together in a huge pile and you just push, and whoever pushes, it's football's version of the tug of war, if you will.
Hartley gets down on your hip or your thigh pads and they just move you, and they're very good at it.
Second down and 4 from the 48-yard line. 8:20 left to go. Again, the tight set for the Hawks. Dixon's got the toss across midfield, pushes, backs his way across midfield all the way down to the 44-yard line, and has enough for another Hawk first down.
Marquette Dixon is going to carry the ball 40 times tonight, whether he likes it or not. And he came into this game about 6 feet 1 or 2. He's going to go out of the game about 5 feet 8. But it's okay. He doesn't mind.
First and 10 Hawks from the Knights 44-yard line. 8:04 left to go. Dixon now on a roll as he has been the money man. And Cohn also on this drive has been effective. Marquette now over 200 yards. 31 carries, 206 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
And Blackman is just doing a great job of blocking up front.
Triple stack again. He's the lead man. Dixon somewhere in that pile inside the 40 on the far hash near the 39-yard line.
You know, before the game, Coach Birchfield said, we're not sure what we're going to be able to do. I think they're pretty sure what they can do right now. They can run right at them, run downhill, and power them for 3 or 4 yards each time.
It's like hitting with a sledgehammer. Play after play after play, and eventually it's going to wear down the Knights, and it's done that now. 7:18 left to go.
Well, and their offense is sitting down here on the bench, and they're getting cold. I mean, they're just standing around. There's nothing they can do. They may only get the ball back one more time, and they may be 14 points down when they get it.
Second and 6 from the Knight 40-yard line. Dixon again with the toss right up the middle. Undercut at the 36-yard line. That time going low is Kyle Rochong to make the hit on the play, but still a gain of 4 more, and I assume 4 down territory here, right?
It's 3rd and 2. Absolutely 4 down. With their punting game, you can't risk a block. So absolutely. Unless they lose 4 or 5 yards here on a bad toss or something.
3rd and 2 from the 36. 6:40, 6:39, 6:38 left to go. Play clock down to 12. Let's see how much of that they milk now on these plays.
All of it.
Remember, the back judge lifts his hand with 5 seconds. They're under 5. The hand goes up. Ruby will snap it with 2. Dixon's got it. Dixon looks for a seam, and that time nothing there. Got maybe a yard on the play down to the 35.
4th and 1. They got to go for it here. If they get the first down here, they're going to run this clock effectively down to about 3 minutes.
He is
stay between the tackles, Larry, on this fourth and one.
You give it to your best player behind your best running or behind your best lineman, and you say, our guys have to be better than your guys, and this is why we lift all the weights and do all the work. This is the time it pays off, right here, right now.
11 plays, 6-13 on this drive so far. Triple stack, fourth and one. They nearly jumped offside. Ruby stands back up, five on the play clock. Hands it off. Marquette Dixon pushes, turns, has the first down inside the 34, near the 33, and that will milk more of the clock. As the sands through the hourglass tick down with 5:40 left to go, they'll re-crank that clock as soon as the chains are moved.
This clock won't run fast enough for Hartley, and it's running way, way too fast for Kettering Alder.
Some of the Alder fans are going up and down the stairs right now.
They're getting their exercise, pacing.
From the 33-yard line. The Hawks have burned a timeout. Remember, they have two left. Alter still has their full complement of three. Do you contemplate that pretty soon, Alter?
Absolutely. And maybe right now. You got to save it as much time as possible.
Tight set again. Dixon gets it right up the middle. Oh, got undercut at the 31-yard line. He was churning those legs and all of a sudden just hit a wall at the 31.
As silly as this sounds, if they line up in their triple stack eye and they fake the ball and he bootlegs out of here, there won't be anybody closer to tackle Jake Ruby than me. I'll have to run him down. There won't be anyone because they've got 11 guys inside the ends here and they're all squeezing.
Martin made the hit on the play. And the thing is, there are about 17 people in that scrum every time.
How could you tell who made the play? It's just one big brown shirt in there.
You wonder if they're setting up that play with Ruby going wide.
I'm going to tell you what.
Second and nine.
To the top side, it's open.
From the 32, Blackman's going to exit the backfield. Dixon's got it inside the 30, nearly broke free, but knocked down at the 27-yard line. A little wiggle inside there by Marquette got him another 3 yards.
You know, you're almost to the point where you can kick a field goal here because it would be about a 43-yarder from here. We know he kicked a 42-yarder last week, so we're getting close to that, too.
It's third down now. The ball resting at the 27-yard line. Clock continues to tick away. 4:09 left to go. Manley to the top. Culver to that side. Cone and Dixon. Look how tight they are. Nobody's violated the neutral zone there. Toss outside Dixon trying to turn the corner. Can he get the first down?
Yep.
I don't know. Let's see where they mark him.
He's real close.
Had to get to around the 23-yard line. Bounced off the first wave outside. And the ball's near the sticks along the far side of the field, so they don't have to move the sticks far. They should be able to tell from that vantage point. Are they going to move the sticks like a foot figure out if it's a first down?
Well, the worst thing that happened there is he went out of bounds.
I mean, the ball's right along the sidelines. What do? Pick them up and move them an inch?
Yep.
They're going to do that, move the sticks, and they'll extend, and they'll let us know that it is...
He got it.
First down, Hartley. 3:55 left to go by half the length of the football.
This is incredible. Alder's going to use all three of their timeouts on this drive, so Hartley needs to make one more first down, and they'll be able to salt away almost the entire clock.
And need a score of some sort?
Nope. One more first down, and then you don't want to score. Then you just take your knee because that could effectively, if they get a first down on third down here, they will use up all three timeouts, and they'll have enough time left to just salt the clock away for the most part.
Drive started with 13 seconds left to go in the third quarter. There's 3:55 left in the fourth. Triple stack. Dixon. Undercut again. They've been going low to try to go after Marquette Dixon. They know they can't get him high, so they knock him down at around the 21. Picks up two. Second down and eight, and they're not taking a timeout.
That's surprising. And the fact that nobody's going low, they're all low. They're all in a big pile on the ground. There's nobody standing out there. All 22 players are on the ground except for the quarterback. He's the only guy standing.
Nine straight runs by Marquette Dixon. The marquee belongs to Marquette on this drive.
I think you're going to go wide here.
Cone the up man, just two backs in the backfield this time. Blackman in motion, top to bottom on the wing. Hand it off, they give it to Cone. Struggles, churns inside the 17 to the 16-yard line. And now a timeout going to be taken by Alter.
I'm surprised they let 35 or 40 seconds run off the clock before they called the last timeout. I mean,
3:08 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at MalikLawFirm.com.
This is the situation. 3:08 left to go in the season, perhaps for one of these teams. Hartley on top of Alter, 14-7. Division 4 state semifinal. 17 plays, 9:05 on this drive for the Hawks. They've got a third down, the ball resting at the 17-yard line. Third down and a short four. Triple stack. Actually, look at this one. Early on, they've got four guys in the backfield behind Ruby. Now, Kirkbride shifts out of it. Two guys shift out of it. One man left, that's Marquette Dixon, trying to go wide. Inside the 15, puts his head down, takes the pile inside the 12-yard line, stays in bounds, and gets the first down for the Hawks with 2:58 left to go. What a play.
I'm watching the Alder offense. They're right below us on a bench, and the air just came out of their bench. I mean, you could just see a collective heads down, shoulders slumped. They can't believe it. They're in disbelief. 2 minutes and 53 seconds to go, and Hartley has taken this ball the length of the field. Heck, the best thing they could do is not score. Just let the clock run out.
Just we'll literally crank it again with 2:52 left to go. This is not football's version of the four corners because they're moving the ball, but Hartley is just taking the clock away and maybe the state championship opportunity away from Kettering Alter.
What an incredible drive so far by the Hawks.
First and 10 from the 11-yard line.
It's old-fashioned football here, boys.
2:33 left to go. Backs from an offset eye. Cone's got it. Puts his head down and just tries to move that pile. Move it, move it, move it. Down to the 9-yard line, then push back from there. Each team still with two timeouts left. Are they going to burn another one?
Yeah, Alder's got to burn a timeout here.
They do. They burn their second timeout. With 2:17 left to go, we'll keep it right here. Shall we break? Let's take another break just in case we don't get another chance. The CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Larry, you mentioned Marquette Dixon was going to get 40 carries, whether he wanted it or not. 40 carries for Dixon, 235 yards, and two touchdowns. The 20th play of this drive so far for Bishop Hartley. Second down and 9 from the 10.
Now what Hartley wants to do is when they run this play to the left, which is where they're going to go, they want to stay on the pile as long as possible. Use as much time getting up as possible.
Dixon's got it. Churns goes inside as they take it off the left side. Maybe down to around the 8-yard line with 2:10 left to go.
Okay, that's their final timeout.
And that'll do it. So they've taken their third and final timeout with 2:10 left to go. Okay, let me set up the scenario for you. The ball's going to be at the 9-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 8 from the 9. If you don't score on 3rd down, what do you do on 4th down?
You let the
go for it?
You let the clock go all the way down to 1 second on the clock. You call your timeout. You set up your field goal team to win this game. And you say, listen, our kicker is 77 out of 79 or whatever he is on extra points. That's all this is. Let's make the extra point. And we go on to the state finals.
Do you have to center the ball right now, or is it fine the way it is?
It's probably fine. He's a right-footed kicker, and it's right center now. So you could run it either way. The one thing you don't want to do is end up with a really harsh angle. But if you do, you can jump off sides and get a penalty, move it back 5 yards, and give yourself a better angle.
Can't the defense go ahead and decline it?
Sure, they can decline
it. I saw that today in the Texas game. I didn't understand why they didn't decline that. Keep that angle the way it was. All right, here we go. The Hawks have it. 3rd and 8 from the 9. 2:10 left to go. Hartley leads Alter 14-7. Dixon on a wing. Cone, the lone back. Manley wide. Dixon on the counter. and knocked down at around the 7-yard line, but it centers up the football smack dab in the middle of the field, and now you just milk it for as much as you can, probably close to about a minute and a half until you have to burn the timeout.
Take it all the way down to 1 second, call your timeout, and relax. See, Hartley's walking over to the sidelines now. They're going to wait to 1 second to go. They will call their timeout, and then it's basically an extra point. I mean, it's going to end up, from the 13-yard line or 14-yard line, but it's basically an extra point. You've been good on them all year. No reason to not be good on it now.
Brad Burchfield letting him know when he wants to burn the timeout.
Well, it'll go all the way down to one. He'll call it now.
Yeah, good guess. I said 90 seconds. 1:30 left on the clock. 14-7 is the tally in this one. All right. If you're Alter now, what do you tell your defense out there?
You got to storm the castle. You have to bring as many people up through the A gaps and B gaps as you can and hopefully get a hand on this thing, block it, pick it, scoop and score. Because even if they block it, if it doesn't go in the end zone, they're going to have it down there.
What a monster drive by the Hawks. You talk about big drives to win a game that net a score. This one may not. For the Hawks, they hope it nets at least 3 points, but what a drive, and basically they've kept the ball away from Alter the entire fourth quarter.
Well, it's going to end up being a 92-yard drive if they score, but it's 99 and three quarters yards because they had the ball on the 1-inch line.
Sounds like you're talking about Ivory Soap here.
Whatever. 20 Mule Team Borax.
So Agresti waiting for it.
Biggest kick
in the hole.
The biggest kick of the year for him. This is it.
Jack's going to kneel down at the 14-yard line. It'll be a 24-yard field goal attempt with 90 seconds left to go. Hoffman's just waiting. Calls for the snap. There's the kick. It is up.
And it's blocked.
Blocked by Alter with 1:27 left to go.
Okay, here we go.
I'm going to guess it was number 37, Tony Petrosino.
There were three or four guys in there, and 37 was one of them, so I give him the credit for it.
So now if you're the Hawks, you're going to have to play defense. Let's hearken back to what happened nearly 6 years ago tonight. The Hawks won a game in the playoffs against Alter, 29-28. They scored with 2:05 left to go. Noah Key went for two to win it. Could we have the same scenario reversed this time around?
It's possible.
Mark Goff has it from the 20. Straight back to throw. Looks, has time, now rolls to his right, looks downfield, throws it, has a man out of the backfield wide open, out across the 30 to the 32-yard line, making the catch is John Bivens, and Bivens will have enough for the first down with 1:21 left to go. Again, they have no timeouts, but he went out of bounds.
Now, the linebackers are going to have to match up with the running backs coming out of the backfield because you've got deep coverage with the deep guys over the top. You just have to make sure they can't get 12, 14-yard chunks like they just did.
Gain of 11 to the 31. First and 10 from there.
Ooh.
Two wide to either side. One back in the backfield. Markoff straight back to throw again. Pressure from the outside. Runs up through the middle. Up to the 30 and gets away. No, he doesn't. Brought down to the 32. Great ankle tackle by the Hawks right there as they make the hit on the play.
That was Jack Baughman.
Clock running. 1:05 left to go. Second down and 8.
Big tackle by Jack Baughman.
From the 33. Markoff straight back to throw. Pressure the outside again. He nearly got away with a hold that time. Markoff throwing it long downfield and throwing it away out of bounds. It'll be third down with 54.3 left.
Hartley's putting tremendous pressure on from the top side.
And I saw some arms looking like they were going up underneath the collar there, so to speak.
They were flailing away.
And the Hawks,
Thomas Kazmir.
Yeah, big number 50 making a great play.
Kazmir is doing a great job on the left side. And Ethan Amaya in the middle is getting a great push. And Nick Dawes on the short side here.
Third and 8 from the 33. Markoff straight back to throw. Again, the pressure from the outside rolls. Looks downfield, throws it up for grabs. The pass incomplete through the hands of the wideout at the 48-yard line, intended on the play for number 83, Jack Mocky. And one more play for the Hawks to hold on defense.
And Jacob McFeeters was on the coverage there, and the receiver had a step, but he was going toward the sidelines and just couldn't get the ball corralled. It's third and 8, and I would be worried most here about the quarterback scramble because they're going to cover the receivers. They're going to cover the receivers. And Hartley may take a timeout here.
Culver is standing about 20 yards back. Yeah, The Hawks are trying to figure out how many guys they have on the field right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Got two guys playing safety. Remember, they only need 8 yards and a whistle and a flag.
It's on the offense.
Mr. Fisher says, false start on the offense. So they moved early, mark it back 5 to the 28-yard line. It really doesn't change that much. Now it's 4th and 13.
Well, if you only get 12, it does.
Well, yeah. A little math from a guy that taught history.
I ain't real bright, but I can figure that one out.
Speaking of history, the Hawks would like to make it here with a chance to go to back-to-back state championship game. 3 wide to the bottom, 1 to the top, 1 back in the backfield to block for Markoff, or maybe sneak out. Markoff back to throw, 4th down, pressure from the outside, steps up, looks, tucks, runs, brought down at the 31-yard line. No flags on the play, and that will do it with 40.2 seconds left to go.
Jack Boffman again.
Second time he's made a tackle in the open field, and the Hawks are going to survive to go to the state championship game. The Hawks right now, one player down on one knee at the 43-yard line for the Hawks. Out of gas, it looks like, more than anything. The Hawks going to play some offense and take any. It's Kazmir who is down, and Blackman came over and literally hugged him at the 33-yard line. And the Hawks will get it back first and 10 from the 31-yard line in a victory formation. Ruby takes the knee. And let's see if they have to run another play when they reset it. 35 seconds left to go. Larry's going to head down to the field again. There is television tonight, so Larry may not get the first interview tonight, but we'll let you know what happens. We'll also recap scores of other games as we have them to this point in time. The clock now down to 21 seconds. They are going to have to snap it one more time. The differential is 1.2 seconds. And Ruby will take the knee at the 36-yard line, and the Hawks will go to the state championship. Do you believe in deja vu? The Hawks do. They're going back to the title tilt. It looks like to take on Steubenville. We want to talk about deja vu on another level. A chance for those teams to match up again. And Bishop Hartley gets the victory. What a contest. 14-7, the final score in this one as the Hawks get the win and they'll advance to the title tilt. And for Alter, it is the first time they taste defeat all season, ending their campaign at 13-1. With that being said, the postgame show is just around the corner. We'll take a break. This is the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM820.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need every step of the way. Through your hospital treatment and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
Back to London as Bishop Hartley is going back to the state championship game. They win it in the D4 state semifinal, 14-7, the final in this one. What a contest for the Hawks. What a great offensive stand, if you will. Yes, an offensive stand in the fourth quarter where they take the ball methodically down the field. They don't score, but they usurp enough of the clock. The Kettering Alter runs out of options, and the Hawks hang on for the victory on a fourth down hold. 14-7 is the final of this one as Larry is down on the field somewhere in that pile. And Larry, what's the scene like?
It's bedlam. It is absolutely bedlam. I mean, everybody's exhausted. The coaches are exhausted. The kids are exhausted. It's just bedlam because they know that they took on the beast and they lived and survived it and they did it Hartley style with a 92-yard drive. It didn't culminate in any points, but it culminated in a victory. And that's really what it's all about. So it's prayer time for them down here right now. A lot of thankfulness and all that good stuff. And we're just going to pause here for a minute and let them Let them do what Catholic schools do best.
And I'll tell you what they've done on the field so well tonight. Hartley with 315 yards in total offense. Alter with 102. Alter at 91 yards rushing, 11 passing for the Hawks. 313 yards rushing, 2 yards passing. You look at the first downs, Hartley dominated 17-4 in that category. No turnovers in this game. The Hawks with one penalty for 5 yards, 3 for 15 in this contest for Alter as the Hawks get the victory. And, you know, we talked about the ball going to Marquette Dixon in the end there. Marquette Dixon, 42 carries, 238 yards. And 2 touchdowns. Cone 6 for 30, and Cone was huge on that last drive with a number of big runs. Culver 7 for 27. On the other side for Alter, Markoff 10 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown. And rushing, that's his last name, 5 carries for 29 yards. So the Hawks get the victory in this one by a final count of 14-7. No scoring in the second half of this contest whatsoever. As the Hawks get the win, let's go down to Larry Wolf and Brad Birchfield right now.
We're gonna step aside. They're on the TV break right now.
All right.
So, but Brad's gonna be standing here shortly. They're talking to Marquette Dixon and Coach right now. So we're just gonna stand back here and enjoy the scenery as the Hawks celebrate down here. It's just absolute euphoria. Having been a part of things like this, you can really appreciate them. And you see the guys that made big plays all night, like Mr. Reese standing right next to me, a couple big pass breakups and some big tackles inside. I mean, every single one of these kids did their job tonight, and it's just so exciting for all of them.
Well, if you find another player you can talk to, that's great as well, too. But, Larry, no scoring in the second half. We talked about the equation before this game. Is this the way you thought it could go for the Hawks?
Well, it's the only way it could go for the Hawks. They had to dominate the line of scrimmage. They had to keep the football away because there are just too many weapons on the other side. But if you would have told me that Hartley would shut down this vaunted offense, I would have said, I don't think that's possible. I just didn't think that they could shut them down the way they did. But this Hartley defense was unbelievable tonight. Absolutely unbelievable.
You hear the cheer of back-to-back, back-to-back after winning the state championship over Steubenville last year. They have the chance to have that return matchup again, and we'll see what happens. But what a contest by the Hartley Hawks as they shorten the game. And Scott Rex is going to tell me about that drive again, too, because that was monumental on a drive that didn't score. We talk about so many drives that scored 22 plays, 92 yards, 11:46 off the clock. In essence, they had the ball for a quarter and did not score, but it turned out it was enough as the Hawks get the victory in this one, 14-7. They'll advance to the state championship game as well, too. And, you know, the enthusiasm, we have to remember these are just kids. And the job they've done, second to none. And I understand you've got Brad Birchfield down there. Larry, let's go down to you right now.
Yeah, I'm down here. He's euphoric. I mean, I don't know. Before the game, he said he wasn't sure what they were going to have to do to win this game. But if you'd have told me that they'd had to get a 92-yard drive, come up with no points, and that would do it for you, what would you have thought about that possibility?
You just don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, they're beating everybody 50-0. I mean, you don't know if they just look indestructible. And but we moved the ball early. They're great linebacker, 42. We knocked him on his rear end the very first play of the game, Jordan Kirkbride did. And I think that said, oh, okay, maybe we can do something. And we did it. But the drive was huge. Like you said, it was so time-consuming, and they had to go the length of the field. You hate to get – special teams was not real good tonight, without saying, but in any phase of special teams, honestly. So but we got another week to get better. We can't get better in 2 weeks.
The good news is you have another week to get better. Now, 42 carries. That's probably more than you probably thought he should. But there are also some big carries out of your quarterback and your other running back, Cone. And the other fellas, everybody chipped in on tonight's game.
They did, but I'm yelling up there, give it to them every play. And the ball only weighs 2 pounds, as John McKay said. So we think he could carry it every play. And
yeah, but
there's just games like this where you got to do everything you can to try to win. I mean, you just have to do everything possible to just try to win.
Well, it looked like the formula at the end was run straight at them. Let your big guys up front move their big guys up front. Let your big Hoss carry the ball right at them.
It's interesting you say that because we still thought Rocket was a good play for us. It was the way they were lining up. I'm sure you saw this, that it looked like it was a 40-yard game and it would turn into a 4-yard game. And it was hard because you're so addicted to it. You think, let's go, let's run it. But they're good downhill on it.
You know this, and every other football coach in America knows this. When you get here, they're all good teams. This was an outstanding defensive football team. I mean, they took away a lot of stuff that looked like it might have been open, but they couldn't take away the horse between the tackles.
We say on Monday, once the playoffs start, we say from now on, every team you play is going to be well-coached, really good, and confident. confident, and that's what these teams are. We are too, but.
Oh, really?
Back to Ohio Stadium.
Back to Ohio Stadium. Excited. Looks like you're going to get to play the same team you played last year, Steubenville. Looks that way. I mean, it could be wrong. Brad Birchfield, if you're
going to have, ready?
I think they'll be ready, and I think you're going to have permagrin for at least another hour or two as you enjoy this ride back to Hawk Dome.
Coach Sackott says, I'm sure he's already texted what three games he wants already. Oh. He's already got all 14, so I'm sure by now. So we'll see where we're at. I'm sure they're frothing at the mouth.
Well, Randy, I'm down here. The euphoria is palpable. I mean, you can actually just, you're uplifted being on this field with these Hartley Hawks. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time of the year to be a Hartley Hawk. Congratulations to Coach Birchfield. I'm giving a shot right into Chester because he needed it. Good luck to you next week, Coach, and bring home another one.
Hey, I appreciate everything 820 has done. You guys make us feel like big time. You guys make CCL football feel like big time. We'll be rooting for those Stallions. Make sure we get two Central Catholic League teams down the street.
Back up to you, Randy, from a great, great 14-7 victory for the Hartley Hawks, and it's on to the state finals again.
Outstanding job down on the field. And think about this. We talked about the smash-mouth, simplistic style of football, but let's go back to the gamble in the first half. In the first quarter, 4th and 4 from the 43 of Alter, that big play yielded a touchdown from Marquette Dixon, gave the Hawks the upper hand, and they never had to look back. They hang on, and they get the victory 14-7 in this one, and will advance to play in the state championship game. We'll take a break, one final break, and when we come back, we'll look at the scores of other games that we have and wrap up a wild Friday night. Remember, we'll be back on Saturday night for DeSales and Hovind. So sit back, relax, enjoy what's left of the turkey, and we'll come back in just a minute on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, right here in one place on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience. And why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. So you can get better. So you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Welcome back one final time to London, Ohio, as Bishop Hartley moves on to the state championship game. They survive Alter by a count of 14-7. I'm Randy Reinhart. Larry Wolf making his way back up from down on the field. And what a night for the Hartley Hawks. A drive that nearly took a quarter and took 92 yards. And they don't score, but they hang on defensively and make the big plays when they have to. And they get the victory by a count of 14-7 in this one. Marquette Dixon again, 42 carries, 238 yards, and two touchdowns. Scores of other games. We go to Division I, first of all. Late in the fourth quarter, St. Ignatius on top of Olentangy Liberty, 21-14, with 3:29 left to go as Liberty gets on the board again. 21-14, Ignatius on top. Mid-fourth quarter, Pickerington Central with a 95-yard interception return. They take the lead over St. X, 21-20. The Tigers on top, mid-fourth quarter. All right, those are some of the scores that we had. Those are the two semifinals in Division I. In Division II, it's Perry and Hudson with 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Perry on top, 14-3 over the Explorers. LaSalle and Anthony Wayne in the fourth quarter. LaSalle on top, blanking Anthony Wayne, 35-0. We mentioned who will Hartley play. Will it be rematch with Steubenville? I'm going to say yes, because Steubenville on top of Perry, 45-13 with 4:38 left to go in the third quarter. So a lot of scoring by Big Red, and they are cruising in that one. And we look now to Division 6. Cuyahoga Heights and Newark Catholic and the Green Wave down by 9, 23-14, 4:19 left to go in the fourth quarter. In the other semifinal, it's Marion Local on top of Patrick Henry, 36-7 with 6:16 left to go in that contest. But here, all smiles for the Hawk fans as they soar to another state championship game, getting the victory 14-7. Larry Wolf somehow has found his way back up the stairs. And Larry, your final thoughts about this contest?
Well, it wasn't a pretty contest. It was old time 1947 style football where you just line up big guys and you run into each other. Hartley just did it better than Alder did it. And neither team could throw the ball. But Hartley was able to run Marquette Dixon 42 times for eight miles and a half, or however much he rushed for. I have no idea, but it was a bunch. 240 yards, something
just
like
about,
that.
Just about, yes.
I mean, it's crazy. In a championship game like this, that's just crazy.
The question is, could this formula work for DeSales tomorrow night against Hoban?
Who knows? It's the same team. You're looking at exactly the same team. Now, Hoban will probably throw the ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
They pass it around a little bit more. So can DeSales ball control it? I don't know if DeSales is better than Hoban. I mean, everybody seems to think Hoban's pretty good. Who knows? I'm tired of predicting.
A lot of fun tonight. Great job down on the field. And thank you for painting the picture so well on radio, what it was like, the enthusiasm, the spirit, and just the sense of relief and euphoria, as you mentioned, that the chance is there for the Hawks to win back-to-back state titles, something that Alter did about a decade ago.
Well, there were tears of joy. I mean, coaches were being hugged. I mean, it was a genuine, it was beyond what you would normally think. It wasn't like they were jumping around and just being crazy. It was genuine, heartfelt joy. And it was deep in the inside, and it was just welling up in them. And it was a total team effort. Everybody had a part in this. Cone, Onaga, all of them. Even the short little runs that Ruby had, they all paid dividends tonight.
Alter with state titles in 08 and 09. Can the Hawks do it in 15 and 16? We wish them the best of luck. And remember, AMA 20 will pick up the OHSAA radio network for the state championship game for Bishop Hartley. We'll see if the same will hold for DeSales. We'll have that game tomorrow night right here on AMA 20. Larry and I with all the action, along with Scott Rex and Greg Savaldi and Ryan Baker, comes back. And that pregame show is going to start tomorrow night at 6:45. Get some rest, and I'll see you in a few hours, sir.
Absolutely. Be ready to go. Go to sales.
Thanks to everyone at AMA 20. Great job tonight by Emily Clark. We thank everyone, both schools. We thank you, and we thank God for this opportunity to broadcast this game tonight. The Hawks do 14-7 over Alter. We'll say it one final time. This has been the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Good night and good weekend, and have a happy and safe Thanksgiving weekend the next few days. May God bless you real well.
You have been listening to the CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week has been brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight was Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Join us again tomorrow night for a Division III state semifinal as DeSales takes on Akron-Hoban. The coverage beginning at 6:45 with the pregame show. Good night, everybody.